Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
And about, yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Hello and welcome to Real Living. This is Lavinia Spirito with Mary Lou Nemecek, and we are still knee-deep, if not thigh-deep, in the pandemic, in the coronavirus, COVID-19 pandemic of 2020. And we thought we would approach this topic that seems to be on everybody's minds, that is the pandemic and the various iterations of what, you know, what it means to me and all that, what it means to you, what it means to us, and discuss an article of our good friend, Dr. Mary Healy, that was published on the National Catholic Register last week, and also I put it on our Catholic Way Bible Study Facebook page as well.
It was April 8th that it was published.
It was what?
April 8th.
April 8th was the day it was published, or which rather would be when it was posted on the National Catholic Register. And again, if you can't find it there, you can find it on our Catholic Way Bible Study Facebook page. And the title is pretty provocative. Is the coronavirus pandemic a judgment from God? And if you are just arriving from Mars and you haven't been exposed to any of the various, you know, how it is, social media at times like this just blows up and there's all kinds of opinions and everybody's shouting and everybody's saying this is a judgment and this is this and this is that, you know. I think it's easy to say this is a judgment because it's easy for us to point the finger of all the things that we see that are not quite right, if not just downright wrong, right? With the world around us, with the culture, with ourselves personally, etc. But I think she makes a pretty useful distinction, which is also followed up. This is an article by Mary Healy on the National Catholic Register, but then there's another article in today's Crisis Magazine, which is an online magazine, crisismagazine.com. 2020, Are We Being Punished? Is the name of the article by an Australian priest who has a parish in Sydney, Australia. And so I'm going to try and combine these two articles because it's the idea of judgment for most moderns does carry, in a certain sense, the idea of punishment. But I like the idea of distinguishing judgment from punishment. Judgment is, it's hot out here. You were wrong to hit me. Or that's a judgment, right? Or right. It's, I don't know. I mean, you can judge. You can use your critical faculties to judge. And God judges what he sees in the world at large. So that's judgment. It's just a sober assessment of the facts. Punishment is, what do you do about it, right? A wonderful distinction is being made by both these articles is that God does judge. I mean, obviously, God is the judge. He judges right from wrong, good from bad, life bringing from death bringing. But he does that at all times, suspending ultimate punishment, giving us always a chance to turn back. So the purpose of judgment and punishment in the scriptures and in divine economy is to bring us back. The purpose of suffering, there was a great passage in morning prayer two or three days ago, which I made a note of. It says, suffering effects the confirmation of our minds to Christ. Suffering means being separated from the things that we dearly love so that God can give himself to us that much more. So suffering doesn't necessarily mean that we're separated from bad things. It could be means also that we're separated from loved ones, that we're separated from financial opportunities, that we're separated from things that that are objectively good, you know. But sometimes the Lord uses suffering as a way to bring us back, right, as an opportunity for conversion. And so that would be, I suppose, one of the conclusions that we can draw from looking at these articles today in our show. Mary Healy begins her article by saying that the key to interpreting because, you know, a lot of people, and I'm sure you've seen this, Mary Lou, as well online, have seen, this is God's judgment for abortion. This is God's judgment for the disintegration of the family. Or this is God's judgment for all the stuff that's going on in the church or in the government.
Yep. That's right? Exactly right.
It's like everybody is, all of a sudden, they know what's going on. And, you know, it may look like that, and maybe it is part of that, but I would say it goes a lot deeper, you know. And we need to read divine chastisement in the light of the distinction between God's positive will and his permissive will. Positive will are things that he decrees. So what does he decree? That everyone would be saved. That's another one, right? He decrees right. That everybody would know him in the power of the Holy Spirit through the salvation brought by his son. Those are God's positive will. He created us and we were good. That's God's positive will, right? He heals people. That's God's positive will. His permissive will is basically, and here we go into a distinction that we see in the letters of Paul. His permissive will is kind of like us as parents, you know, like when our children were hell bent that they were going to do something, right? And they're like, let's say, teenagers, and they should be able to use their heads. And you decide as a parent to step back in your permissive will, and you allow them, right, to reap right. The consequences of their choices, right?
That's exactly right.
And so in a certain way, in a certain cosmic dimension, God's permissive will is God allowing us to reap the consequences of our choices. And that's what the wage is, what Paul calls the wages of sin, you know, or he also calls it elsewhere, the wrath of God. It has nothing to do with God's anger. It has everything to do with God as a parent who steps back and says, oh, you want to have your way? You want to live independent of me? You want to, you know, I don't know, drink yourself into insensibility every night? You want to smoke like a chimney? You want to abuse substances? You want to cheat on your taxes? You want to kill your wife or your husband? Okay, go ahead and do it, but you won't like the consequences. You won't like the liver cancer, the lung cancer that might come from abusing substances. You're not going to like the judicial, you know, the consequences of bringing harm to another human being wrought upon you by the judicial system. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes it's, that's the way, one of the way God reaches us is through allowing us to arrive at the natural conclusion of our actions. What do you think, Mary Lou?
I totally agree with that. And I think that many people are kind of thinking about their actions and behaviors and how they do without things these days, reflecting upon that and the consequences of their decisions. And it can be very sobering. I mean, I think everybody's looking at themselves, kind of having an examination of conscience to a certain degree about, gosh, how does this fit into my life? And have I caused any of this? And I think that's good. It's helpful. I mean, it's like raising your children. You know, you're going to let them ride that bike and they're going to learn. And if they fall, they fall, and you tell them, get back up on that bike and, you know, keep going. We can't we cannot lose any hope. I certainly am not depressed through all of this, thankfully.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Because I think you have to look at it through the right lens. And I think that's this article is a wonderful way to do that.
Absolutely. She begins with, Dr. Healy begins with a quotation from Pope Francis's extraordinary prayer service broadcasted on March 27th. Remember that dramatic one when he was MT in,
yes,
in Peter Square? Lord, you're calling us to faith. It is not the time of your judgment, but of our judgment. A time to choose what matters and what passes away. A time to separate what is necessary from what is not.
And I think that's the key. What is necessary from what is not.
And then she says, on the other hand, some theologians and ordinary people have noted that many passages in scriptures speak of calamities, including pestilence like the pandemic, deadly infectious disease, as God's judgment on human sin. And again, there's those famous passages in Leviticus, for instance, which are the covenantal curses. Remember, if you oppress the poor, if you indulge in ritual hypocrisy, you know, ritual just, you know, empty ritualism. If you are violent towards your fellow man, if you are unjust, if you do all these things, if you break the covenant with me, then pestilence, war, famine, slavery, there's all kinds of consequences that really can be connected as direct results of the unjust behavior, right, of the children of Israel. In the book of Revelation also depicts a rider on a pale horse, remember, who was given, who's basically pestilence. And the pale horse, in English it's translated pale, but the word in Greek is chloros, which is a pale, sickly green, which really gives even more of an idea of what's going on. I like this article by Father Matthew Solomon on Crisis Magazine, which is what I was telling you all before. He says, anyone with faith in God would easily conclude that the current crisis has all the hallmarks of divine punishment. And he's writing from Sydney, Australia. He's a parish, he's a pastor of a parish in Sydney. Given the recent drought, fires, smoke, floods, and now plague, it's beginning to sound a little all a bit biblical, like the book of Exodus, especially having just been through Lent. If we combine that feeling with some of the recent moral and political battles we have fought and lost in Australia, see, for instance, the crucifixion of poor Cardinal Pell, who was just thank God, acquitted by
exonerated
court, exonerated, and just the general sentiment against the Catholic Church in Australia, for instance, together with the moral decline of Western civilization, there seems to be mounting evidence for the case that God is punishing the world. Is this God's punishment? That's a good question, right? And a lot of us are asking that. And he says, no. The short answer is no. It is not God's punishment because God does not punish the innocent, right? God does not allow the innocent to die for the sins of others. It is offensive to God's perfect nature that he would abandon his infinite goodness and act capriciously. It is an obviously human fault that when we do not get our way, we want to get our way come hell or high water, but that's not God's way. All right? Now, the second reason, because this is not God's judgment or God's punishment, is mentioned in the gospel readings. God will not punish some people for the sins of others. All right. So if it's not a punishment, then what is it? Then he comes to the conclusion. It is a judgment. And I love kind of the finer point that he puts on punishment versus judgment, which we've tried to kind of elucidate a little bit at the beginning of the show. All right. So what does Mary conclude? God is infinitely good. He is light, and there is no darkness in him. Evil is what? The absence of God. Rather, he permits evil because in his infinite wisdom, he's able to bring even a greater good out of it. It's a mystery of suffering, right? Bad things happen to good people. You
That's
know?
Right.
Why? Why did you allow this, God? Why did you do that? What happened? Because his wisdom is so much more infinite. Remember, I think last time, Mary Lou, in the last couple of shows, we talked about God is a chess player with infinitely stacked chess sets, and he's 10 to 20 to 100 moves ahead. in every chess game ever played, you know?
Right. Well, another way to look at it is he sees the whole picture. We the finished picture. We only see the back of it with all the threads intertwined and not making any sense.
That's right. So God does not direct evil. He permits it for a greater good, which when we're immersed in the suffering, it's very hard to even understand that, right? We need a little distance to understand that. So it does not mean that God directly causes it. It means that he allows human beings to experience the consequences of our choices, all right? When a society deliberately turns away from God, choosing to worship idols of its own making, as our own global culture has done, it removes itself from God's blessing and protection and therefore exposes itself to various kinds of evil. Do you remember that famous interview after 9/11 with Billy Graham's daughter, Ruth?
Oh, yes.
On, I think it was on the Today Show. And yes. They said, now, how do you even square God's will with what has happened? How could God allow something like 9/11 with all the innocent deaths and all this stuff? And she said, how could God allow? We have kicked God out of the public square. We have kicked him out of the schools. We have kicked him out of government. We have asked him, and not very politely, to leave us alone. So now we're blaming God?
I remember that. And it's true then, and it's true today.
I thought that was kind of, you know, she really slam dunked that person who was interviewing her. Judgment for sin is experiencing the consequences of our choices. And we talked about that a little bit before at the top of the show. God's desire is always that his children turn back to him and be healed and restored. Ezekiel 18:32, for I have no pleasure in the death of anyone. So that's what his big shout, his big thing with all the prophets is, shuv, shuv, shuv. That's Hebrew for turn. Return, repent, return. And that's what he's doing. So turn to me and live.
And our freedom is our freedom of will. I mean, that's what she's talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Our freedom to make choices, right?
Mm-hmm.
Scripture also makes clear we are not to judge the culpability of any individual, which I think the church bears up quite nicely by saying we can't even know really where Judas is. We can't really know for sure who's in hell. We know for sure certain people are in heaven because they've been canonized by the church and they're saints. But we don't have any one person who we know, other than Satan and the fallen angels, who are in that state of permanent deprivation of God called hell.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So we should be too fast on the draw to kind of, judge other people. Right. So a large-scale disaster is therefore not a warrant to condemn others. It's a call to examine our own lives and to get right with God. Aware, as we all know, that none of us knows how much time we have left on earth. Now, you've lost your husband last year. I've lost a couple people in the past. Actually, I've lost three really good friends and a family member in the past 4 weeks. And it's jarring, right? Because you think, well, wait a minute, I'm not that old, you know, or so-and-so was younger than me. And you think that somehow you have this shelf life and we have this warranty and God, you know, is not going to call us back in until our warranty expires. But the whole point of what Jesus says in the Gospels is what? Be ready, be ready, be ready. Be vigilant, be ready. Watch, watch and pray. Do not fall asleep. Watch. Be careful.
No one knows that better than I do.
That's the whole point. I know, right? Just be careful. Yep. Watch, 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 watch. Why? Because you don't know how much longer you have. We don't know how much longer our loved ones have. So make every moment count. And I think in this time in which we are shut down and we can really not go anywhere, we have more time to pick up the phone. We have more time to write that letter. We have more time for prayer, for more prayer, for spiritual reading, for learning more about the Lord, for just soaking ourselves into God's presence. We have this amazing gift of time. So that in a certain sense, this awful epidemic this awful pandemic with isolation and social distancing and sheltering in place has actually offered an opportunity to grow closer to God. So for me, it's been, I don't know about you, but it's been a great example of how God's permissive will allows us to draw closer to Him.
Well, I think the time during Lent has been an exceptional time for people to, you know, step back and investigate some of these things as to how they use their time, who they talk to, who they call and say, I miss you. I just wanted to call. I care about you. I haven't talked to you forever. Or writing that letter or those prayers. People are discovering so many opportunities, as you mentioned previously in a show on online, books, you know, through our Magnificat, you know, the different apps that we use. It's a time where we really do have an exceptional amount of free time to use it for prayer.
Amen. Amen. For prayer and just kind of drilling down on what the things that really matter, what really matters, you know, what are the things that the Lord would have us do? And what are the things that are just, you know, nothing, right?
Right.
We have come to the end of our show. We will hope that you join us next time. Thank you.
Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by. Have you ever been put on the spot and asked to explain or defend Catholic teaching on sensitive topics such as abortion, same-sex marriage, or the Eucharist? What to Say and How to Say It is a straightforward and practical resource by Brandon Vogt, best-selling and award-winning author of Why I Am Catholic and You Should Be Too. He offers essential tools for articulating even the most contentious aspects of your Catholic faith with clarity and confidence. You can get a copy of this important new book at AveMariaPress.com. Use code TALKFAITH to get 25% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Redbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.